Welcome back to this week's edition of the Midweek Reality Check with Michael Pinto, where I try to keep Wall Street and your money real.
Love him or hate him, one thing is for certain. Donald Trump is an undaunted activist president who is shattering the status quo in his second tenure in the White House. On Friday, he retaliated against Chinese President Xi's blockade of rare earths by threatening an additional 100% tariff on all imported goods. That would mean the U.S. would be imposing a total tariff level of 130% on all those Chinese exports coming to America. The stock market dropped 3% on Friday, but then, over the weekend, Taco Trump, Trump always chickens out, recanted that threat of 130% total tariff level starting on November 1st. That's when it was scheduled to take effect. And the markets rebounded by 1.5%. Trump said over the weekend that the situation between the U.S. and China will, quote, all be fine, unquote. And that, and I continue to quote, the U.S. wants to help China, not hurt it, unquote. Such hiccups in the market are unpredictable and obviously extremely ephemeral and stochastic. But anything that would be protracted in nature would be picked up by my model ahead of time before it does any kind of significant damage. So for now, we just assume that Taco Trump will make sure everything works out fine. And if that's not the case, we will make some permanent adjustments or, you know, we'll make the necessary adjustments to the portfolio. Meanwhile, the government shutdown just entered into its third week, and that means the data-dependent Fed has no data to be dependent on. No CPI, no non-farm payroll report, no jobless claims, no government data at all. But we still have the private market data. And U.S. small business optimism in September fell to a three-month low. This decline was driven by increased concern over inflation, tariffs, and supply chain disruptions. A net 23% of small business owners in September expected conditions to improve over the next 6 months. That is down 11 percentage points from the last month. The longer the government shuts down, the more disinflationary the impulse will be. There's going to be less fiscal stimulus, less debt and deficits, thank God, and furloughed government employees are going to end up, many of them end up getting fired, and that is also disinflationary. Now, on the other side of the ledger, the Fed is about to cut rates again and terminate its quantitative tightening program, known as QT. And Trump has actually floated the idea of a $2,000 stimulus check per consumer in the form of the American crypto coin. So that is also obviously very inflationary. So we have countervailing forces. That's why I believe we're in sectors 3 and 4 right now. 3 being stasis, 4 being reflation. If you want to know the reason why Powell is ending QT now, it is because the reverse repo facility is empty and the Fed is now panicked that the credit markets will soon begin to panic. Now that the essential liquidity in the RRP is gone to fund the massive treasury issuance. And you want, if you want to know something about debt and deficits, here's something you should know. The deficit for 2025, fiscal 2025, $1.8 trillion or 6% of GDP. In 2024, it was $1.8 trillion and 6% of GDP. So I don't know if I said that right, but just to repeat, the deficit in 2025 was $1.8 trillion, 6% of GDP, and 24 was $1.8 trillion, 6% of GDP. So despite the tariff revenue and the Fed forcing interest rates lower, so interest rate expenses are lower, there has been no deficit reduction in either in nominal terms or in terms of GDP. We're just not reducing the deficit at all, which means we are not paying off the national debt. We're adding to it. Almost $2 trillion per year, and that amount of annual red ink is guaranteed to increase due to demographics. But it's going to surge out of control It will surge out of control in the next recession and or credit crisis. Now, in a preemptive attempt to prevent the latter, that is why Powell is ending QT. It's going to end soon. But it's not just the U.S. that's in this debt trap. Global debt jumped by $14 trillion in the second quarter to a record $337 trillion. Things have gotten so out of whack that the U.S. Treasury is selling dollars to buy the Argentine peso. Did anybody vote for that? Is it any wonder why global central banks now hold more gold than they do treasuries? You look at tariffs and confiscations and manipulations on the part of the U.S. government to our foreign creditors, and the fact that we're manipulating interest rates, you know, repression across the globe, particularly in the United States, the dollar is getting wrecked. Of course, makes sense. And part and parcel of this reckoning of the dollar is that the stock bubble continues to inflate. The bifurcated and unstable economy shows signs of fracturing, even though we're in this bubble. For example, there were 101,513 properties with foreclosure filings across the United States during the third quarter of 2025, up 17% from a year ago. Auto loan delinquencies are at the highest level in 14 years. Student loan delinquencies are up 25% year over year, with 12% of that $1.8 trillion being 90 days or more in arrears. So it's a bifurcated economy, meaning that the top 20%, they're doing fantastic. That top quintile. The bottom four, especially the bottom three, are hanging on by the skin of their teeth. In summary, the stock market is the most overvalued and concentrated it has ever been in history. The real estate bubble is more extended today than it was prior to the global financial crisis. The credit bubble is far greater than it has ever been in history. The economy is absolutely divided between the rich and the poor. The trenchant gap has never been greater, but the 20% at the top is helping to keep consumption healthy. But this thin veil and charade of normalcy should continue until the credit bubble begins to implode. That is what I do best. That's what Penta Portfolio Strategies is built to do. The good news is that the clients of mine have availed themselves to the inflation, deflation, and economic cycle strategy, which is built to sound the early warning alarm for just such an occurrence. Now, right now, financial conditions and credit spreads remain quiescent for the most part. There is an incipient hiccup. I don't know if it was because of the Trump's tariff threat. I don't know what it's about, but there's a slight increase, a tremor in what I monitor most, which is financial conditions, credit spreads, and the MOVE index. So we remain long, but cautiously long. And we have a plan for when we need to change our long strategy. We also have a plan to understand what assets we need to sell, what longs that we currently have that we need to shed when the credit market begins to falter. We also have a plan that understands what we need to short, which includes long-term bonds. And we have some ETFs that we will go long because they increase in value when the market crashes. It's going to happen, ladies and gentlemen. There is a great reconciliation of asset prices that still lies ahead. We not only want to avoid that, but we want to profit from it when it finally arrives.
Thank you so much for listening to this edition of The Reality Check, 5 minutes of sanity in an insane world. Please remember, if you're not already an investor with PPS, you can email me directly using mpento@pentoport.com or call the office using 732-772-9500 to get information about our portfolio services. You should also go to Amazon and order my book, The Coming Bond Market Collapse. Subscribers should contact an investment advisor before acting on any information contained in this podcast. No information on this podcast constitutes an offer to sell or buy any financial instruments or to provide any investment services. Subscribers understand there's an inherent risk in investing. PPS is a registered investment advisor.